Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, it is our great joy and delight to come to you. And I'm looking forward, especially in the next two or three lessons, as we take up this amazing passage in the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and 17. In closing our lesson, our last lesson, we were speaking of the fact that starting in at chapter 16, 13, and running through chapter 20, 34, we have our Lord instructing his own disciples, his own followers. And this is under three announcements of his death. And we have the first one in chapter 16 and 17, the first announcement of his death in chapter 13 to 17, 21. And again, may I give you a telescopic vision of what we have before us. We have, first of all, the revelation of his person, or the great question concerning our Savior. And that is followed by the revelation of his purpose, which gives to us the great foundation for our faith. And then we have the revelation of his program. And this, of course, gives us the real object, the great object for why he came. And then we have the revelation of his followers. And this gives us the great privilege that men and women have of following him. I just suggest this as we take it up now in detail. But first of all, the revelation of his person. And I want to read again these verses, chapter 16, verses 13 to 17. When I read, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, that's away north of Galilee, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, and some say you're one of the prophets. Jesus said to them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered him and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, the very first thing is the revelation of his person. And by the way, every one of us have to answer this great question. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Is he the Son of the living God? For you remember in John's Gospel, in chapter 6, verses 68 to 69, Peter said to the Lord, when the Lord says, are you 12 going to leave us too? Peter said, Lord, where can we go? You alone hast the words of eternal life, and so on. Now, here's the great question. What are men saying about me? That's a very logical question for the Lord to ask his disciples. Now, they've left Galilee, and where he's performed so many miracles, and they've been with him through it all. They've seen him still the storm, and they've wondered what kind of a rabbi they're following. Now, they're way up north, and he turned to the disciples and said, what are folks saying about me? Oh, they said, some say you're John the Baptist raised from the dead, and some say you're Elijah, and some say you're Jeremiah, and some say you're one of the prophets. That's what the people are saying about you. Well, what do you say? And we have these memorable words of Peter when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the answer by revelation. Supposing I just stop here for a moment and ask you the question, what do you think about Jesus Christ? Jesus of Nazareth, whom the Jews crucified years ago and he was raised from the dead. What do you think about him? Do you know, my friend, your answer to this great question, who is Jesus, determines your eternal destiny? The average man on the street, when you ask him, what do you think of Jesus? Oh, he's a good man. He was a good man who lived many, many years ago. In fact, sometimes they use some colloquial expressions. I've heard them say, oh, he was a good guy. It sends a chills down my back, but that's just what people say. In fact, we're getting more and more of that. Some people talk about the man upstairs. Who is this Jesus? I say the average man says he's just a man, a good man who lived ahead of his time. A man whom his generation didn't understand him, so they killed him. And then there are others who say, no, Jesus was more than a man. Well, I think of the miracles he performed and the things he did, he was more than a man. But my friend, listen. If Jesus is just a man, then we have no Savior. If he's even a Superman, we have no Savior. The answer by revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Or again, may I quote from John chapter 6, 68 and 69, when Jesus said, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Answer by revelation. May I remind you of a verse we had way back there in Matthew chapter 11, 26, when Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and ye have revealed them unto babes. May I remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it speaks of the fact, pardon me, it's chapter 2, where the Spirit of God is the only one who understands the things of God, and he's the one who imparts even the deep things of God. Listen, friend, did you know that your eternal destiny depends upon your relationship to this Jesus of Nazareth? I read over there in the book of Revelation, everyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, how am I going to get my name in that book of life? Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the door, by me if any man enter in. Come unto me, he that cometh to me, to as many as received him. You see, friend, and I want to be very frank with you, and yet I want to be tender, compassionate. I want you to understand that when God raised his son Jesus from the dead, God was telling you that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And your relationship to Jesus Christ determines your eternal welfare. John 3:36 says, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. The difference between life and death is Christ. The difference between heaven and hell is Christ. The difference between being saved and being lost is Christ. The difference between being in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness is Christ. This is the issue, not being religious, not being good, not doing anything. Your relationship to the Son of God. To as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. My friend, can you say with Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? When they came to Jesus and said, what must we do to do the works of God? His answer was, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. If Jesus Christ were to ask you the question personally, who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? What's your answer going to be? Well, you're just a good man who lived 1900 years ago. You're somebody who had more power than others because you healed the sick and you cleansed the lepers and you raised the dead. But you're still just a man. No, friend. If Jesus Christ is not God incarnate, we have no Savior. If he's not the Son of God, the holy, sinless Son of God, then each one of us are still in our sins, and we must stand before a holy God. You see, what I'm talking about is this tremendous question. The great question is, who is this Jesus? Do you know, many, many years ago, I was in a certain church in Tacoma, Washington, and the pastor said to one of our young fellows leaving for college, he said, what are you going to do when you get through college? I'm going to get a job. Then what? Well, I'm going to get married and raise a family. Then what? Oh, he said, I hope to be able to retire. And then what? He said, listen, Doc, I haven't thought that far ahead. He said, listen, young man, you may not even get to college. You may not even get married. The important thing for you is your relationship to God.
You see, friend, life at the best is but a fleeting shadow. Don't you think it would be a point of wisdom for us to get down and settle this question about our eternal destiny? Wouldn't it be a point of wisdom if we were to answer the question that Jesus put to the disciples, "What are men saying about me? What do you think about it?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God." Oh, listen, Peter. You didn't get that by natural resources. You didn't get that by scientific research. My Father made that known to you. Oh, listen, friend. God is just as willing today to reveal to you the person of His Son, if your heart is open to Him, if your mind is open to Him. So I again declare that your relationship to Jesus Christ will determine your eternal destiny. Which leads us to the next question.
The next statement, rather, of our Savior, in verse 18, where we have the revelation of His purpose, verses 18 to 20. And what is the, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now here you have the revelation of His purpose. Now what is God's purpose? Following the revelation for the first time in the New Testament, the revelation of His person is followed by the revelation of His purpose. What's He going to do? Now the Lord is going to tell them He's going to die. He's going to suffer. He's going to die. He's going to be buried, be raised again from the dead. We're going to find that in a few moments. Why? Because of His purpose. What is God going to do? "Upon this rock I will build my church." Now, first of all, let me say the church was not built on Peter. You remember in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter's own statement that he was only one elder with the rest. "Who I'm also an elder." He was an elder with the rest. And this word Petros, that's the word for Peter. "Upon this Petros, thou art called Petros." Then he changed the word when he said, "And upon this rock," this Petra, "I will build my church." Peter was a little stone, you know. When we were kids, we used to wear shoes with copper toes because we were always kicking stones. And we kicked every stone in the way, you know. Well, that's Peter, a stone to be kicked round. If Peter were the foundation, it's a very, very poor foundation. "But upon this rock, I will build my church." This immovable rock. I love the word of Samuel Rutherford, that dear Scotch saint who said in the 16th century, "How glad I am that the rock never ebbs or flows." It's all immovable. "Upon this rock I will build my church." In 1 Corinthians, you remember, chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Other foundation can no man lay but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." There's no question that the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. "Upon this rock I will build my church." Now, what is the purpose of God today? Following the revelation of His person is the revelation of His purpose. "I'm going to build a church." A church. A called out company of people. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul gave to us in his epistles. For example, you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and Paul speaks of the fact that God today is doing something new. He's calling out a people called the church, with something unknown to past generations, but now made manifested by His holy apostles and prophets. You see, there was no church until the day of Pentecost. Our Lord here speaks of it yet being future. It's a future thing. When you come to Acts chapter 2, we read, "The Lord added to the church such as were being saved." Now, the word church primarily means a called-out company. It's from a Greek word, ekkalao, kaleo, which means to
To call, ek means out, to called out company. For example, in the book of Acts, you have the church in the wilderness. This was Israel called out of Egypt to God in the wilderness. It was called a church. This is not the New Testament church. That was Israel called out of Egypt. But God today is doing a new thing. Allow me to quote from the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. In the first council at Jerusalem, about verses 13, 14, and 15, where you remember after Paul and Barnabas had given their testimony how the Lord had granted repentance unto the Gentiles and so on, we find that James stood up and said, Simeon at the first hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. After this, after he's gathered out a people for his name, he will return and build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and build up the ruins thereof, that the rest of the Gentiles might seek after God and so on. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of creation. Now, God today is doing a new thing. He's not dealing with nations. I wish in some way I could get that into your hearts, into your heads. God today is not dealing with nations. God today is dealing with individuals. He is calling out a people for his name, irrespective of color or tongue or tribe or position, no matter who they are or where they are or what they are. Any man or woman, young person, I don't care who it is, anyone in the human race that will put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior immediately becomes a member of the church, the body of Christ. Now, this is taught in the book of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, especially these three books, which has to do with the revelation of the church. Now, I want to suggest this to you. I'm not talking about denominations now. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about an organism, not an organization. An organism is something that's living. And when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we became not only the children of God, but members of the church, the body of Christ, as found in Ephesians chapter 1. He gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, the complement of him that filleth all in all. In other words, before I was a Christian, I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was a child of wrath like the rest. I had no hope. I was without Christ, without God in the world. And then one day, I was brought to the saving knowledge of Christ. I took Jesus Christ personally as my own personal Savior. And that very moment, I not only had my sins forgiven and received eternal life, and it became a child of God, but I became a member of a new company of people called the church. A called out company of people. That's what God is doing today. This is the purpose of God for this age, is to gather out a people for his name. And friend, you and I can belong to that church. Personally, I belong to it because I've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Now you can do exactly the same thing. I'll take this up in our next lesson a little more fully. But for the present, remember, my friend, Jesus Christ is the difference between life and death, between heaven and hell. And we plead with your heart to accept the Savior today. What do you say? When Jesus said to the disciples, "What do you think I am? Who do you think I am?" They said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What do you say? My friend, your answer determines your eternal destiny. And God grant you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Today, for now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation.